بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله, we are almost approaching the end of our recitation for this year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the recitation and also the listening. This is the month of Nur. This is the month of Hidayah, guidance for all mankind and for Muslims, for those who have taqwa and those who seek Allah's forgiveness. This is the month in which we find ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time in ways that we don't find ourselves outside of this month, which is a living proof that Allah's fadl is with us in this month of Ramadan. This is how we see the Muslim Ummah in the past and even today benefiting from the month of Ramadan. The word Ramadan in Arabic means something that burns others. So the Arabs would call the hottest month of the year Ramadan, from the word Ramd, because it would literally burn you and scorch you. And then when the Quran came down, the word Ramd was used with Alif Noon at the end, and it became a proper noun, an alam, Ramadan. So the Alif Noon is added on. The original word is Ramd, which means to burn. The Quran uses the Arabic language of the Arab, of the Jahiliyyah, and represents the language in a way that is just miraculous. And the Arabs, the Quraysh, the poets would be mesmerized. How can you use this word this way? Like the word Rahman, from the word Raham. So they would understand the word Rahim, someone who is very, very affectionate and merciful. But they never heard of the word Rahman until the Quran came. The Alif Noon there is also added on. It says, Wamar Rahman. What is the Rahman? That's what the Quraysh would say. Wamar Rahman. What is the Rahman? So the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech, comes in this language, which is the pristine language of the Quraysh, and it revives it, revitalizes it, and almost revolutionizes it, and uses words that they knew of in different ways with nuances that they would not understand how it can be grammatically correct and how they never thought about it. So the word Ramd is now a proper noun for the month of Ramadan, and it's also one of the names of Allah, which is not mentioned with the other 99 names. I'm sure some of you will go back and say, it's not mentioned the 99 names, I don't have it on my chart here. No. There are many names outside of the hadith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one hadith which gives us 99. There are other names of Allah and other attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come in dua and come in ahadith, but we don't enumerate them with the 99. Okay? So Ramadan is a name for Allah, it's the name of the month, and it's the month in which the Quran is revealed. Why? Because it burns our sins. It burns, see how the Quran revolutionizes. It burns our sins. And what happens to us when we fast? We burn out. Period. Never mind sins, all of us. Everything, from top to bottom, we all burn out. There's nothing left until, mashallah, the miskeen, timekeeper, whoever that person is in the masjid or wherever, says, fast has broken, bismillah. and they can barely say the adhan before they put their date into their mouth. You're burnt out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala burns away the sins of those people who fast in Ramadan for His sake. And this is how we get the word Ramadan. Is in the etymology. It's in the sarf and the nahu and the grammar of the word that you will find nuances that you won't find in books that are written in English. You'll find this all in Arabic. MashaAllah. That's why you should all study Arabic here at Dar Qasim. It's a recruitment session at the moment. We're making tashkil, so stand up, give your names, come here for the rest of your lives, mashallah. You'll be fine. Bi-idhnillah. So, in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focuses His attention on the believers. And as He focuses, what does He do? He burns away their sins. He forgives their sins. How? By giving them the tawfiq to worship Him. Our sins are only forgiven when? When we worship Allah. When we engage in focused worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it's focused. What is focused? That you're not necessarily doing community service. You're not helping the ummah. You're helping yourself. For once in the year. So this is why the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a hadith of Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Illa as-sawm, fa inna as-sawma li," except for fasting, because fasting is for me. When you fast, there is no evidence at all that you're doing community service, are you? Who benefits from you staying hungry and thirsty and coming for Tarawih and then waking up for Tahajjud and then everything else that comes along with it? Who benefits? Apparently, ostensibly. Does your spouse benefit from it? Do your children benefit from you fasting? Does the community benefit from you fasting? Does the poor man benefit from you fasting? Does a rich man benefit from you fasting? Does the ummah benefit from you fasting? No. No one benefits except you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith Qudsi, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates Allah, where it is not the Quran, and says that sawm, fasting, is for me. For inna sawma li, fasting is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not doing this to help and support a poor person, or to offer handouts, or to change the ummah, or to bring in the khilafah. You're not doing this for that purpose. You're doing this only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sawm has a very special place in Islam, in the five pillars, and this hadith tells us all about how special it is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith, the Qudsi, that I will compensate and I will give the reward for fasting. Whereas all the other actions, the angels will distribute the reward, inshallah. But when it comes to fasting, Allah says, I will give the reward for fasting with my own hands. And Allah gives with His hands, mashallah. What else can you wish for? Because the noble man and the generous man gives according to his nobility and generosity. Right? When we give up everything for the sake of Allah. And this is how fasting is prescribed, so that we become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in the previous ayah, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may acquire taqwa and become God-fearing. How do you become God-fearing when you fast? This is how. That no one knows whether you're fasting or not, really, right? Some of you go to work, mashallah, and hopefully none of you have ever thought of, you know, just taking a bottle of water into the bathroom and say, okay. But it's possible. Children do it all the time, and they tell their mothers, oh, I'm fasting. Yeah, okay, fine. No problem. Adults, I doubt whether anyone who makes a sincere intention to fast, they will ever think of breaking the fast. Very rarely. illa mashallah. So nobody knows whether you are truly fasting except you. And that is the beauty of the sincerity and the ikhlas of fasting. So when Ramadan comes and we fast for the sake of Allah, and the Quran comes down as we are fasting, then in the evening Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His further rahmah upon us by allowing us to recite the Quran and to listen to the Quran in congregation in a salat that is not fard. See the genius of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Taraweeh is not what? Fard. Is it? No. Some of us don't believe in Taraweeh period. And that's the issue. Taraweeh is Sunnah. Taraweeh is what? Sunnah. Sunnah Muakkadah. And it is Sunnah Muakkadah in Jama'at for some people. If you do your Taraweeh sometimes at home, that goes well, fine. That's not a problem. So what happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, guided this ummah to collectively recite the Qur'an and listen to it in a jama'ah, in a group. And this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did for how many days? 3. Then he said, I fear that you might assume that this has now become fard on you. So he didn't come out the 4th night. He stayed at home. And then people did not pray in jama'ah for a long time, until the time Umar radiallahu anhu, when Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu reinitiated. He did not initiate. He reinitiated the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in congregation, that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that the ummah would confuse the matter upon others who would come later, because you have to think about future generations also with your actions. This is the foresight I was mentioning through Laylatul Qadr. That you develop this foresight for the ummah. If I do this, this will happen. If I do this, people will say this. So in Sharia, it is very sensitive. People simply don't read enough fiqh to understand how Sharia is people sensitive. Okay? When we go for janazah and we recite the dua after the janazah, then the fuqaha have said that you should not face the grave. Right? That's what the fuqaha have said. And the reason they say is what? It's not about Muslims. The reason they say is that if some non-Muslim was to look at you praying over the grave, what would they think? What would they think? That you're what? Petitioning to who? The person in the grave. So they say it's makruh. The who? The fuqaha. Who are the fuqaha? The people who understood Islam. Well, fiqh means to understand. So what did they say? That if a non-Muslim was to come to the janazah and saw a group of Muslims making dua on top of the grave to the person in the grave, they would say, this is their Islam. So I don't like this Islam. Why am I worshipping human beings? Why am I asking from petitioning a person in the grave? So they said, turn your faces, face the Qibla, as you do when you go and visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tell you, visit the face, the Qibla. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Right? People sensitive. Now, we don't know how to do that anymore, because we're not worried about the issue of ibadah. We worry about how people might think of us. The way we talk, the way we dress, the way we look, the way we behave, so. Now that's a different cosmetic, the Hollywood syndrome PR thing that happens to us. This, the early fuqaha said, that if someone looks at you and says to you, you are worshipping this, then that is makruh. It is detested. It is unliked. So the Prophet ﷺ taught us that you must think about future generations when you are going to initiate an ibadah. So he said that, I'm afraid that you might think it is fard, so that he left it. The Sahaba then saw that the Ummah will no longer see Taraweeh as what? Fard. So they reinitiated. They reinitiated the Taraweeh in the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. And Ubay bin Ka'b, who was the greatest Qari of this Ummah, Okay, he said that I will now recite the Quran in one dialect, not all the dialects, only in one. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ni'mat al-bid'atu hadihi. This is a tremendous, beautiful bid'ah. Meaning it's not an innovation, it is a reinitiation of a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only thing different that Ubay did was what? That he recited the Quran in one lugha, the lugha of the Quraysh. And before, he would recite the Quran in every lugha, all the dialects of the peninsula. Now he said, I'm going to recite in one. That was the change. And that it is that change that Umar is referring to when he says, Ni'mat al-bid'atu hadhihi. He's not referring to Taraweeh. Because Taraweeh had always been established as a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what I'm saying is that through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives every Muslim the opportunity to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in congregation outside of the fard salat in Ramadan, which is an added blessing. You do the five, and then you do the Taraweeh. Does that make sense? So what is the Taraweeh? It's an added fadl from Allah. Now what is the fadl? The fadl is not $1 million. We ask, هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي. That is written, mashallah, on all our mansions. Everywhere you go in the Muslim world, هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي. What? The mansion. Which is it? It is, mashallah. Allah give us all barakah. Keep us in safe houses, inshallah. That's fine. I said, but you missed the boat. You missed the point. Okay. The Sahaba's understanding of fadl was what? That I'm given the tawfiq to do more ibadah. And then the Prophet ﷺ prescribed this nafil ibadah in the form of a jama'ah so that it will be an added benefit to the ummah. When? In Ramadan. Outside of Ramadan, a nafil jama'ah is not allowed. Again, this is the fiqh. Oh, we got to encourage people. No, you don't have to encourage anybody. It's a bid'ah, period, finish, khalas. So the Sahaba saw that this is added fadl from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has initiated this extra fadl, this grace, this mercy, this rahmah, in the form of a jama'ah, which is Taraweeh, where we listen to the Qur'an in congregation. And we don't do that throughout the year, do we? Is there any time when we listen to the Qur'an in congregation? No. And not only in congregation, we do it in salat, which is even more. So you fast in the day, you have your five prayers, you have an additional salat, and you have the additional recitation of the Qur'an. So this is guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is huda, this is hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in Ramadan, because of the barakah of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses this ummah this way by making sure that every Muslim has an opportunity and access to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a very different level. A level that is mind-boggling. A level that if you were to tell your friends at work or at school, that, hey, guess what? What? That I fast throughout the day, and then I worship in the night also. You say, you Muslims, huh? You, if you're not crazy outside the mosque, you're crazy inside the mosque. What's wrong with you? Don't you have a life? Huh? What is this? And everybody's okay with it. Who? The Muslims are okay with it. And we can fast the whole day and still stand in Taraweeh, as I said, behind the pool for fast, mashallah. And as I said, some of us don't know what's being recited. We don't even know whether they're reciting the Quran or not until tonight. Everybody got the gist of today's, inshallah, rest of the day. Ah, yes, it is Juz'i Amma. I know, this is not the Quran. Mashallah, as Allah ya'alamu la ta'alamu nuqawmun tajharoon kada wa kada. Right. This is Allah's fadl, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates in the mind and the psyche of the ummah the desire and the zeal to worship Allah through sawm and through salat and then through the qiraat of the Quran. the Qur'an being recited and listened to. This is all in the beauty and ihsan of Islam. So if you want to understand the ihsan of Ramadan, and the ihsan of Salm, and the ihsan of Salat and Tarawih, and reciting the Qur'an, then you must understand it this way, so that you can become ambassadors of the deen. And you can speak about it, not only to yourselves, to your children, but to other people who might ask you, hey, what is this Ramadan? And this is what Ramadan is about, okay? This is the crux of the issue, is that Muslims become closer to Allah in Ramadan, and that's what they seek through their fasting. Now, the issue of community service is a fringe benefit. I mean, it's a good selling point, okay, to your co-workers and whoever. Say, why are you fasting? Say, well, we want to feel the hunger of other people who don't have food. Yeah, right. Really? I mean, is that what you do, iftar? You feel the pain and the hunger of people who are starving in the world? Give me a break. Right? I mean, it's not even a joke. So how can you make that pitch that in Ramadan we become more of a community service-oriented people, but because we give zakat and we give sadaqah? That is fine. That's another tawfiq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. So even zakat and sadaqah comes in. And even Umrah comes in, people who can afford it, they want to go for Umrah when? In Ramadan. So all five pillars are included in this month of Ramadan, the month of Tawfiq, the month of Hidayah, and so on. But the primary focus in Ramadan is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may acquire taqwa and become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we focus in ibadah, Allah burns away our sins. Why? Because we are focusing on our deficiencies. We are focusing upon our inabilities. We are focusing upon our blunders and mistakes and sins and our incompetence. And that is the meaning of dua. And that is the meaning of ibadah in Islam, that you humble yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Muslims do this collectively in Ramadan, Allah forgives the ummah. When the Muslims go with their banners and slogans throughout the world and do this and do that, there's really no hope of forgiveness. Right? The slogan Islam has killed the ummah. And in Ramadan they have even more slogans. And they call it Battle of Badr was in Ramadan, mashallah. Subhanallah. I told you out of context. That's if you say that the Battle of Badr was actually an offensive battle, that the Sahaba actually wanted to go to war with the Quraysh, with 313 people who barely had two swords together, and maybe one horse and two camels. Really? Is that your sense of Battle of Badr? That they actually went on an offensive attack to just destroy the Quraysh? I mean, get your facts right first. That who goes with an army of 313 against an army of 1,000 that is equipped with camels and horses and swords and everything else that a tribal army needs? And then they say, okay, now this is Islam. Islam in Ramadan means we must relive the Battle of Badr. That makes no sense in the context of seerah. It's not true, number one. Number two, it is ridiculous because Ramadan is about the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a battle occurred in Ramadan is coincidental. It is not by purpose. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say in the month of Sha'ban, 28th, 29th, he didn't stand on the minbar and say, Ramadan is coming, now we must go to war. It is coincidental that one or two battles came when? In Ramadan. It was not by design. That is a contingency. Battles and wars are always seen as contingencies in Islamic law. They're not seen as the norm. So when you study Islamic law, you see that the rules of warfare and jihad, they're seen as contingent laws. They're not seen as proper law. They're not seen as the real law, the positive law that the fuqaha speak of. So Muslims in Ramadan, if they truly want to benefit from Ramadan, they must remember that Ramadan is for the sake of ibadah. And that is why the fuqaha say that if you have nothing to do, sit down, be quiet, or lie down. And when you're fasting and you lie down for the sake of resting, Allah will reward you for that also. You see? Who understood this? The fuqaha. Relax, it's okay. You don't have to go onto the bandwagon every day and say, I gotta save the ummah, mashallah. I gotta do things for the ummah. You can. If you have the strength and energy and tawfiq, that's fine. But if you don't want to do any harm, then sit down, relax, be calm, be quiet. Now, some of you may say, yeah, everybody does that. No, it's not. Why? Because doing harm is un-Islamic, and resting in Ramadan is Islamic, for which you get rewarded. There's a difference between the two. So the Prophet ﷺ raised this ummah in such a way that it valued ibadah at the time of ibadah, and it valued work at the time of work, and it valued community service at the time of community service. We can't match the community service, dedication, sincerity of any of the Sahaba. Any of the Sahaba. So that also is mythical. That the Sahaba were like this. They weren't passive people. But what did they do? What they did was that they followed. They followed and they emulated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he do? Because he is our Nabi, he is our Rasul, he is our guide, he is the Rahmah of all the worlds, and we must emulate him. This is our Islam. And our Islam in Ramadan has come to a point now, mashallah, through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl, we see now in this country where there are just so many places where we have Salat al-Taraweeh, so many places, in Chicagoland. In 84 when I came, there were two places where they had Taraweeh with the whole recitation of the Qur'an. One was MCC with Maulana Abdullah Salih, and the other one was here somewhere, out in the Aurora somewhere, Batavia, where yours truly was leading. There was no third place. No third place. Now, every quarter, there's what? There's a group of people behind some hafiz, mashallah, and they're reciting the Qur'an, and they're leading, and people are going there, they're making dua. Today is a night for many people's khatam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their khatam and accept their du'as also. But this is a phenomenon that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the Muslims that when you want to focus on ibadah, you will expand. And if you don't have ibadah in mind, then it's up to you. And it's up to your efforts and your sincerity. You may expand, you may not expand. But this is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the ummah, a fadl from Allah, that the more you want to worship Allah, the more Allah will facilitate that whole process. That whole process. If you were to measure and calculate how much money it would take to run this ummah in Ramadan, you would not have a computer to compute those numbers. It's not possible. You know, the amount of food and iftar that Muslims give throughout the world, not only here, everywhere in the world, where in masajids, the masajids are jam-packed, outside, inside, and people donate so much food for each other and for others who don't have food and iftar in Ramadan, you go and you just stand. MashaAllah. Every corner of the Muslim ummah, people are feeding each other so that they may allow another brother or sister to break their fast. This is a mu'jiza from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't compute this, nor can you call for such a revolution anywhere in the world. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes from the ghaib. Now, this is what I'm trying to say, is that when we come together on the platform of ibadah, we are united. By default. Why? Because Allah is uniting us. Who is uniting us here? Why do we come here? Is it a pitch for Dar al-Qasr? No. Is it a pitch for the Ummah? No. Is somebody saying that when you come here or anywhere in the world where you go for Taraweeh, you're going to deserve the Ummah? No. Allah is calling you to listen to His Kalam, His Word, His Qur'an, His recitation. Come and listen to my word. And what do Muslims do? They say, Labbaik, we're here, and we're coming, and we'll always come, inshallah. When we get together on the platform of ibadah, Allah unites us naturally, organically, automatically. After ibadah, that's up to us. Whatever we want to do in the name of Islamic politics, economics, Islamophobia, what have you, that's up to us. Then we have our minds, and if it works, it works, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But at ibadah, Allah unites us. This is what the Quran says, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ جَمِيعًا مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنُهُمْ. If you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were to spend all the resources on earth, subhanAllah. The Quran is saying that if you have a budget to do what? Unite the ummah. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ جَمِيعًا مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. If you were to spend all the resources on earth, what would happen? مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. You would not be able to unite their hearts. Well, what does it tell us? That money is not the answer. Money is not the solution. What's the solution? وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. But it is rather Allah who unites them. And where is Allah? In ibadah. Where is Allah? In ibadah. In salat, who are you worshipping? Allah. In fasting, who do we fast for? Allah. In zakat, who collects our zakat first with his hands? Allah. You know that, right? وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبُلُ التَّوْبَةَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ. He is the one who takes the sadaqat in his hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before you give zakat to somebody or sadaqat to somebody, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it goes into Allah's hand, Mubarak, first. He receives it and then he invests it so that it becomes like the Mount of Uhud in reward. Then it goes to the poor person. That's ibadah. It's not economics, it's not finance. Oh, if you give zakat, if you give sadaqah, we're going to help the needy and the poor. That's fine. It's post Allah's acceptance, not pre Allah's acceptance. Allah has to take your zakat first, then he gives it to the poor person, and Hajj is all about Allah's ma'am. So when you look at the five pillars and the ibadat, you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed this ummah around five pillars, Islam. And Islam means that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and purely for his sake. This is the way forward for Muslims, not only in this time and age in this country, but for every time and age and country. From the time of the Prophet ﷺ until the Day of Judgment, this is the only formula solution that has worked, is working, and will work. Everything else which is Islamic, that's up to everybody else is now speculation, some people's ijtihad, some people's opinions, some people's efforts, for which they will be rewarded if they are mukhlis and if they are sincere. But ibadah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give to the human mind. Ibadah is wahi. And that's why it works. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنُهُمْ. Because Allah is the one who unites everybody in times of ibadah. And this is how we see, inshallah, Ramadan being a month of ibadah. And with this, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our ibadah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our salat, and all our sawm, and all our zakat and sadaqah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everything that we have done for His sake, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reform those acts that need reforming. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayr khalqi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahabi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya Rahman Rahimin. Alhamdulillah.